Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Hey, how you all doing out there? This is Duchess, and I'm here, and I hope I have a clear signal going on because Fabio and I were testing things a little bit earlier. Her mic is off right now, but we were testing a little bit earlier, and she was saying that I wasn't coming through clearly. So I hope everyone can hear me. I'm doing great. Hope you're doing great. It's amazing. I woke up this morning saying that I sure hope it doesn't snow for the whole entire month of February. And then I looked out my window and sure it had snowed this morning right as I was waking up. It was amazing. You know, I must call these things to myself. Well, we got 43 days until springtime, and I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I do my little springtime countdown. Things have been going well for me. I've been planning getting ready for a vacation pretty soon, and I'll be looking forward to that. Of course, we have a show where we have to continue some things. We've been talking about doing that purpose list for the last three shows, and it seems like we're going to be doing that for a while because everyone needs to know that in order for us to focus on where we're going, it takes more than just goals. We have to know that it's a purpose and that we're on that purpose. I want to get Fabio on here. We have a lot of listeners that are excited about having her as the co-host, and you all know that I'm excited about having her as a co-host. It keeps me from drinking lots and lots and lots of water during shows because I have someone to share dialogue with than it used to be me doing all the talking and waiting for someone to chime in and call in and pipe in and getting all horsey and froggy. And with that said, let me see if I can get Fabio in here and find out if I have a clear enough line. Oh, first, Fabio, before we go on the air, I want to wish my brother a happy birthday, my youngest brother. He has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Latif, wherever you are. And I hope you're online and you hear this message. If not, I hope one of our listeners lets you know that you were wished, you know, a bountiful birthday today, February 4th. Okay, Fabio, let me open up your mic and see what's going on in your world because your world is so interesting. I just can't wait. How you doing, honey bunny?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Duchess?
I'm doing great. You always sound so, I'm fine. I hear you have some good news for us. You know, I heard that one of our listeners, of course we keep all of our listeners' names and phone numbers confidential. I heard one of our listeners contacted you and they're interested in spending some time with you and your partner up there on the farm working with the goat.
Yeah, we're excited. Going to be really beneficial for us to have someone help us out and at the same time have them enjoy learning about what it is that we do and kind of just walking them through our day to see if it is in fact something that they would enjoy doing. And I can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we can get a few listeners up there. Maybe you can start some type of educational process up there on the land where you teach people how to go and be self-sufficient and start their own parcels and things like that. You know, you ever thought about something like that?
I would love it. I toy with the idea from time to time because, quite frankly, we just don't have enough farmers of color, you know, and that's been something that has really struck me as being unfortunate because like I said on previous shows, prior to some of the policies that were actually put in place by our own government to help ensure that we wouldn't have land, and African Americans controlled so much land mass that we had enough land that would cover all of, if you put all the land we had together, it would cover something like all of the Carolinas, Alabama, Mississippi, and parts of Texas. So that's a lot of land. And when we're down to, like, people of color, African Americans particularly, owning only 1% of 1% of the land mass that represents the farms these days. Yeah. So, you know, I really think the next revolutionary act for us, the Black Panthers need to be black farmers, really.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's your week been like? How you been doing? How's the baby goat doing? What's going on with your late children?
Well, okay, so we have these baby goats, and we have seven of them, like I've said before.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point in their life, you have to, if you're going to decide to keep them as pets, it's better that you dehorn them. Otherwise, they are more likely to injure each other and injure you in the process of having to deal with them. So we had the vet out this week who came in and removed the stitches from the one goat that had the C-section. She said she's looking really well and everything is going good for her, and we were excited. And then we had, this is the first time that we've had a vet come and actually perform the dehorning process on our goats. Normally, we use another guy who is another goat farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has grown up, you know, his family has been doing this for like two or three generations. So it's just something that he goes in and he, like, trims nails. You know what I mean? Like, you cut your nails, he trims horns, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a traumatizing process watching him do it for us and the goats, because their horns, people don't know this, maybe they have, it's connected to their brain and their blood, their sinus cavities and all of this other stuff, and they actually have blood vessels in their horns and nerves. So if you cut their horns when they are beyond a certain age, they bleed and they have to have the horns burned. You know, the place where they have had the horn removed, it has to be burned. And then sometimes they get a bloody nose because it's connected to their sinus cavity. It's just, it was way too traumatic for us. So we decided to do the vet this time. And the vet actually went in and deadened the nerve around their horns. And she gave them a sedative. And she removed the horns. And it was way less traumatic for them and for us. And I think that means we're going to be using the vet from now on, you know, in that process. So they had their horns removed, and after they came back, it was like being in a nursery because they sound like babies crying, so they were a little woozy. But then when the sedatives started wearing off, they were like, like all babies crying in a nursery. And eventually the moms quieted him down. The one that we're taking care of, we quieted him down. And we were concerned about him because usually when you bottle feed a baby, they are kind of weaker and more frail. But she was like, no, this one, he is just freakishly big. He is bigger than all of the other. I said, I know he's one of the youngest ones, but he's bigger than some of the older ones. She said, then he's doing really well. You don't have to worry about them, and, you know, so that was kind of some of the things that was happening on the farm for us this week that was pretty substantial.
Isn't that expensive?
Well, I mean, if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, no.
Okay.
Because she came and dehorned all seven of the kids that we had. She came in and she removed the sutures from the one goat, you know, who had a C-section, and she looked at another goat who had gotten into some mischief and kind of hurt her calf and gave us some penicillin and told us what we needed to do, and all of that, all of the goats were taken care of for something like $200.
Wow, that's beautiful. So, you're right. In the grand scheme of things, that's not considered expensive, you know?
No. And she will even, she makes a house call and she considers it a herd visit. And she will check on your whole herd for $35. And if you happen to have your cat or your dog that needs to be seen while she's there, they don't see the animals in their clinic. But if you happen to have a cat or dog that needs to be seen while she's there, she'll see them too. So, you know, I mean, I love it. And I was like,
visit. That is so cool.
Right. So wow. I was like, well, we only
have of home visits from doctors way back when. I'll see the whole family, you know,
exactly.
Give everybody their shot.
Right, exactly.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, I mean, that's something for someone who wants to get involved to come up there and just throw themselves into it and learn.
Exactly. We are working.
For bio, but.
What'd you say?
I don't think it'll be me, but.
You never know. We may have turkey feathers and chicken feathers too, processing birds. You never know.
Right. So I'm glad a lot of the listeners, you know, are interested in doing some of this with you, and you're open to having them call you or what they need to do if they're interested in spending like a week or so or some time up there, whatever y'all decide, up there with you on the farm. They can get in touch with Duchess on the air at gmail.com. Okay, or they can call into the show and speak to you directly and say, hey, I'm interested. Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll go offline with them. They can send us an email or they can call in offline and we can give them a telephone number for them to call. And
absolutely.
Can give us your personal information and vice versa. And they, you know, y'all can make the arrangement. It sounds really, really interesting and fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I'll be looking forward to some of the listeners doing that with you.
Yeah.
So what's up with this, what is it, the art center? You have an art center also?
Yeah, the Hamilton Hill Art Center. This is our 50th year of being in operation, and for a nonprofit that is of color, that doesn't really substantially lean on we have funders or what have you, but our budget is relatively small, and so what people don't really understand about the Art Center is that we are using African and African-American-based arts and culture as a form of healing historical trauma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, there is scientific evidence that proves that if you utilize group drumming sessions, those drumming sessions are more effective on healing people with some mental illnesses than lithium.
Okay.
So you're right. So they don't understand that we are combating some of the effects of historical trauma by utilizing some of the tools that our ancestors already had. They just know they're coming to learn about how to, you know, African drum or doing African dance or doing the visual arts or media arts or what have you. And so what we have done is, you know, it started with my partner's grandmother. And it started as a place or in which children could come of color and actually have a safe space to be at when their parents, when they weren't supervised, right? And it kind of grew into this larger than the community itself that it was serving, and it began to serve the surrounding communities in the area. We call it the Capital Land District, which means it's actually servicing like five or six cities that are with around that area. And so I sit on the board of directors for the Art Center, and we are coming into celebrating our 50th year, like I said. But this is, we're doing the, we do a fundraising gala every year. And this gala is going to be celebrating the legacy of not only the families that helped found the Art Center, but the legacies of the families who came together to keep it running. Like, they donate their time. There's a woman who has been there for 40 years who has been teaching African dance to generations of children, okay, who never, she volunteers her time. Even when we paid her a salary, she would donate the salary back to the Art Center.
That's beautiful.
You know, so this year we're honoring the legacy that they've given us and saying thank you, because without them in the community, we wouldn't have been able to keep the Art Center running the way that we do.
Great.
So,
you think, well, you know, you think perhaps some of our listeners may be able, who are interested in the arts, might be interested in coming up there and hanging out with you and working with that as well.
They can do that. They absolutely can. We will welcome your committed time and energy in whatever capacity that it is that you can give. And so you can find us at www.hamiltonartscenter.org. So.
Okay. And I want everyone to know that when you volunteer time, especially for a nonprofit's cause, then your volunteer time can be calculated as a monetary value to that nonprofit. And it turns into like the equivalent of matching funds for funding organizations that want to give them financial monetary monetary donations. So your volunteer time, it works out to be for them the equivalent of a dollar sign in matching funds from other from funding sources that want to give them actual money.
Right.
So, I think we need to. I see the board is lit up. We gave everybody enough time to pop in. Once again, I want to say happy birthday to my brother. Latif, today is his birthday. Happy birthday, brother. Yeah, happy birthday, and I hope you have many, many more. And after the show, I'll probably give you a ring or send you a text message personally. But speaking of today's show, now our topic is making a purpose list and using this purpose list as a combat tool for spiritual warfare. This is our fourth session working on this endeavor, and I came across a little saying while I was doing my research, and it asked the question, what if what happens to you is really happening for you? Okay, so a lot of times we think things that happen to us, you know, they're miserable things, they're things that are either good, bad, you know, we look at them, we feel traumatized by them, but this may be something that's good for you. And I think you mentioned something towards that, Fabio, when you gave me, for instance, of a person who had a tragic event happen in their life, or they were thrown out of a space that they were living in and come to find out, being thrown out, as miserable as it seemed to them at that time, it literally saved their lives for not being there at a particular time, point in time, you know?
Right.
So, okay, why is making a purpose list beneficial? Well, there's this woman named Joy Foley who says, while you can be busy with a million tasks every day, when you don't have a clear purpose, you may be heading down the wrong path. That's because your goals may have nothing to do with your purpose, which means that you can pursue your current goals for 5, 10 years, only to realize that this isn't what you wanted after all. Okay? If the ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just gets us to the wrong place faster, you know. And so that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, Fabio and I went through these questions because we felt like there were some that we want you to answer for yourself privately and personally, and then there are some that we might want to share with you. And but before we get to the questions, let me go back to some other stuff that Foley said, Miss Foley. She talks about purpose, the purpose being with a big P. It's a little different than, say, a long-term goal or something you aspire to do. Purpose with a big P isn't an end point. It's the inspiration for why we do what we do. We might sometimes think of purpose as gas in a car. It's the fuel that keeps us going no matter where we are headed or how long that journey might be. Without it, we'd be standing on the sidelines of the road because when you know why you do what you do, you can stay focused, energized, and powerful. So purpose is not the destination, but rather the fuel that gets us where we want to go. It grows as we grow, deepening and evolving over time. So that's why it's useful to reflect on it every time we set out for something to do. It's useful for us to set out with a purpose, not just saying I'm going to go around the corner to the store. I used to have a friend who used to tell me, you know, if you're going to go for a walk with a destination, a purpose, you know, or you just haphazardly now. You know, I'm going for a walk, and I'm going for a walk in the woods, and I'm going for a walk in the woods so I can see that lake about 15 minutes out. You've got a purpose. And it motivates you to get there so you can go and see that lake. So, Fabio, last week we talked about, we did some questions, and as a review, we asked people what gives them meaning in their life, what brings them joy, what gifts do they believe they bring to others, who needs the gifts that you bring. And so tonight we're going to start with what's missing from your life, what's missing from your world. Think about that, everybody. Fabi, you have anything that you feel is missing from your life or missing from your world? If you want to share that, we can share with that that question, or we can keep on going. But this is one of our check marks.
Well,
what's missing from your life, from your world?
If I'm going to say I have something that is actually missing from my life and honestly do an inventory about it, I would have to say that it is the peace that I would like for my extended family to have amongst themselves. And when I say that, I say it with a kind of wink and smile, because I know that's about me wanting to control their journey.
Mm-hmm.
When I was initiated into my priesthood, they said one of my jobs was to help knit my family back together. All right. And for me, that's a very kind of interesting task, because although we come from the same parents, I've discovered that we all have different perspectives. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it beyond that. It's kind of like I grew up in the same house with my sister, right? And my one little sister says to me, you can get eggs from a chicken without a rooster. And I'm like, of course you can get eggs from a chicken without a rooster. She was like, well, how does that happen? And I'm like, okay, how did we both grow up in the same house? And I know that you can get eggs from a chicken without a rooster, and she doesn't know that. You know what I mean? Interacting with the same people, and, you know, but we're having different experiences in our lives, right, that is actually shaping and forming us. And I explained to her, I said, well, every female is born with the number of eggs that they have, just like you're born with the number of eggs that you have. And so, in essence, that chicken is giving birth every day, right? And she was like, oh, my God. I said, I know. It gives you respect for that egg, doesn't it?
So why does a farm need a rooster?
Because the eggs aren't fertile. The female chicken has the eggs in its body, right? And
mm-hmm.
it goes through a process. So the egg and the egg yolk is actually in its body before the shell gets formed around it. And so when the rooster comes and mates with the hen, he fertilizes the egg before the shell gets formed around it. And that fertilized egg then has the possibility of producing a chick once the mother incubates it. Okay.
See why we all need to grow up, we all need to go farming so we can learn this stuff.
Otherwise, the eggs aren't fertile. You can still eat them, but they're not
right.
going to produce a chick, right? And so so I'm having this, I know this because I interacted with my grandparents at some point who explained this to me, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, you were interacting with the grandparents too. How come you don't know this? But I then understood that we're all having these different experiences, and we're all having different things that are mixing with us to make us the person that we are. Like, she may not have gotten the story about the rooster and the hens and all of that, but she may have gotten the story about the well water that they had, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get the story about the well water. So anyway, so my family, they're made up of all these different kinds of creatures who believe all these different kinds of things. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to knit all of these different types of fabrics together to form this family quilt, basically?
But then you're really a more advanced thinking spiritual being, because in all of the religious books, I remember in the Quran it says that the Creator makes us of different tribes, not so we can
mm-hmm.
make war with one another, but so we can come together and learn from one another. It would
right.
not do for all of us to know the same exact thing.
No,
it would make for
no.
a boring life. If I knew everything
right.
you knew, there would be no reason for me to be on this show talking to you, and there would be no reason for people to be listening to what we're saying, because they would already know what we're going to say.
Right, and it would be no, here's the thing, it's not just that we're made from different tribes, it's that we're made from different aspects of God.
Absolutely.
And so we would not be able to, by us having these conversations, we have a clearer perspective of what God is in the universe.
Absolutely.
Not just, you know, not just my perspective, but you lend your perspective to me about what that God looks like, and then you, another person lends their perspective, and I get a clearer perspective of God, right? So I am now seeing how the power of prayer works here in terms of me stepping back and just praying into the universe this intention of wanting to have my family knitted back together. And it is slowly but surely happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not, you see, I am not controlling it. Although I want it faster, I can be impatient. So that is the one thing that I think that I am missing, that wholeness around having had my family having been already knitted back together.
Right. Well, what I've always wanted, me as that individuation of God,
mm-hmm.
me as that aspect of God, I've always wanted to see my family live on some land. In one of those, self-sufficient communities, those
mm-hmm.
communities where we each had our own space, our own domicile, but we worked
mm-hmm.
the land,
mm-hmm.
lived together. You know,
mm-hmm.
we did everything together so that no one is ever alone, but we also
mm-hmm.
have our own space to be in our own
mm-hmm.
space where we want to be
mm-hmm.
alone. You know, I always mm-hmm. looked at my family to be that community that I've been looking
mm-hmm.
for all of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I desire to live in such a community one day because it doesn't
mm-hmm.
look like my family is going to form that community for me to live in. So I have to search and hunt. Maybe it'll be up there with you, but maybe I have to search and hunt for the ideal community that I want to live in so that I don't feel like I am so alone and have that physical connectedness with other human beings around me when I need to be connected, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's kind of what I feel is missing. Not only
mm-hmm.
from my life, but I think that's missing from the world as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are so separated and think we are so, you know, we don't need one another. When I was a young girl, there was a song that we learned at camp and that we learned in school, No Man Is an Island, No Man Stands
that's
Alone.
Right.
Each
that's
man's
right.
joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own.
Right.
Oh, wow, I remember it. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend, you know?
That's right.
So, I mean, and the song goes on and on and on, but that's what I feel. And so when I'm looking at the things that are happening around us and on the news, I have no problem getting up and turning off the television
mm-hmm.
set. I have no problem, you know, putting the newspaper in the garbage. And when someone asks me, well, what do you think about, I tell them, I don't think. I don't want to think about that. And I don't want to bring that into my thinking space.
Right,
so,
right.
if money wasn't
an issue.
That's
the great American
lie. Huh?
And that's the great American lie, living as an individual.
Right.
We were never intended to live as an individual, individualistically. We are designed to be interdependent, you know.
And, you know,
so,
and that's so sad because so many people do not want
mm-hmm.
to live interdependent,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, so many people don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then so many others take advantage of that.
Right.
People need one another, but you want to take advantage of me because you know I need you.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
So that leads us right into, what is it they say, the segues into the next question. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time? You know, and I guess that's exactly what I would do with my time. I would build that community that I desire.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know,
I would build a number of those communities. I would have one community that was for the cast off of our society. And when I say that, I mean those who are elderly and mentally ill, you know. And so they would be separated, but they would be in a community that, you know, like I would take one of these Air Force bases that they have decommissioned because it's self-contained, and I would put people who had Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever into these spaces, and I would allow them to just, it would be just a village for them. They had their grocery store and a movie spot and the housing. See, Army bases that are decommissioned are perfect for that, because it would allow, they already have the infrastructure in place, right? And everybody who worked at each of those different businesses would actually be people who worked for the hospital or this land space. So when someone was having a good day and they can shop for themselves and dress themselves, they could go do that. And when they were having a confusing day and they didn't know where they were going and they were just wandering and roaming, they couldn't get out beyond the gates to hurt themselves. But anyone who came and sat next to them or walked through the parks or whatever or was at the grocery store would know, and they would say, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, let me help you get back to your home, you know?
I see that as a mixed, I see that as a mixed community. I don't see them being separated, because I see people like with those different ails and illnesses, I consider those to be in some way spiritual. I think they need to be around children. They need to be around, they need a mixed community. And those children that are growing up in that community, to me, they are blessed if they are learning how to care for those people and how to understand those people and know that they're not strangers in a world.
Right.
These are people that make up and enhance everything, because one day you may be like that as well.
Right, right,
you know?
Right,
so,
exactly.
No, I think we should have mixed communities now. I see us having separate individual family type communities, like I say, like tribes. They mingled. I mean, you don't want to get married to your brother and your sister. You want to have a tribe next door so you can meet other people. I mean, that kind of thing. But
so mix it up at least.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe in mixing it all up. Mix it all up. We gotta have a mixed. I think that's the whole point of being individual aspects of the Creator. You know, because even those people with the Alzheimer's, the senior citizens, they're still aspects of
the
Creator.
Yes,
you know.
They are. Yes.
So we've answered a lot of these questions. I'm just gonna pop through because we're talking about what problems we would like to see solved. We're talking about what will we do if no one needed. That's a good one. What would you do if no one needed the job that you already do anymore? So what would you do if nobody needed me to handle their packages at UPS? What would I do? That was a dumb response. Because you can throw packages in the garbage. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, that's not, to me, a job that we would be lost without. But say, for instance, if someone was a nurse, what would you do if we didn't need nurses or doctors anymore? You know? What would you do
if you don't need attorneys anymore? See, attorneys thought they were going to be around for a very long time.
That's
too
true.
But now technology is replacing them. You can go online and get the same legal forms
that you used
to hire an attorney for.
That's
right online. And you don't have to pay the hourly fee to have the
draft. It's almost
work.
Getting to the point where you can go online and you can say, you know, call up a doctor.
Right. Exactly.
You don't have to go to nobody's office. You know, I got a telephone number under my medical covers. I can call the Mayo Clinic anytime I want to. I got a question.
Oh, God. Right.
You know, so that's coming to fruition.
And they're testing it out. They're testing it out. So, look, they're doing this. I think they're doing that in Detroit, Michigan now, where they're testing out having video doctors see you because people are using the emergency room as a form of medical care, and it's very expensive. So they're like, go in there and talk to the doctor and see if he, you know, via internet and see. I said, wow, this is
absolutely.
And they are assessing you and walking you through. Okay, well, maybe it's this. Have you tried that? And you know what I mean? I said, wow,
right.
This is
it's
deep.
A whole lot cheaper than going to the sitting in his office and wasting you know, 2 hours
right.
waiting in the waiting room.
Right, right. So I think here's the kicker. I think Trump is a product of people not thinking about what would you do if your job was no longer needed. I'm just going to tell you how I see it. That's just one of the aspects, but since we're talking about what would you do if your job isn't needed anymore, we're going to talk about that aspect of what led us to this point of having this president. Because people who worked in coal and steel thought that their jobs were going to be around forever and ever and ever. Amen. And when that was no longer the situation and they found themselves as disenfranchised as the black man who is least likely, he is more, how can I say that, he is least likely to be able to get a job than a white male felon. Okay, when they found themselves as disenfranchised as that individual, they became angry and outraged.
Yeah, okay, so what about the flip side of that?
What's the flip side?
Let's talk about the flip side of that. He's trying to get rid of all immigrants, okay? Now, when I look outside my window in my apartment complex, the only people I see doing
right.
the gardening, okay, the landscaping,
mm-hmm.
and even Mar-a-Lago, where his golf course is,
right.
they're all Hispanics.
Right. Right.
Okay? I mean, these are people who are skilled at what they
right.
do. I mean,
right.
these are skilled jobs. These aren't
well,
any by-the-wayside jobs.
No. They're also hard jobs.
Yes, right.
Okay, now they had proven in upstate New York they were doing certain things, like when you go on unemployment, say you were making $50,000 a year doing an office job.
Mm-hmm.
They would call up someone who had, through this survey, said that they were unemployed and that people of color were taking their jobs and all this other stuff. After so many weeks of getting unemployment,
mm-hmm.
you are not supposed to be so picky about what job you get. You're supposed to get whatever job you can
right.
get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they would call these individuals up, and they would say, hey, we have a job for you. And they're like, okay, psyched, Caucasian. Yeah, we're going to do it. And they're like, well, you'll be picking apples, okay, on this farm for $10 an hour. What do you mean? Click. I'm not interested. Click.
You know, the reason why I'm laughing is because I know my sister's listening in on this call, and I know she remembers when we used to sit and sort cherries.
Yes.
With some of the migrant workers when we lived in Utah, we would sit on crates.
That's
but
right.
we were going to make some money. And
right.
I mean, it was us, you know,
right.
and the migrant workers, and we would sort
right.
these cherries. To this day, I don't want to eat cherry pie, okay? Because I saw what we missed as it was rolling down the conveyor belt to go into the can with the sugar to make the cherry pies.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
But you're absolutely right. They think they're gonna. They think they want to get rid of people. They are. They are gonna be so sorry.
If they did,
they
would
be
so sorry. Because listen, this is the thing that they don't tell people, that you really need to know if you're going to be educated about stopping immigration, even illegal immigration in the United States. The social security system can no longer support those who are on Social Security with the labor that's being put in by those who are working now. Okay?
Right.
So that means if you get rid of, see, illegal immigrants come over, they make money, but they are still paying into the Social Security system.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not qualified to withdraw out of the Social Security system because they're illegal, all right? Even immigrants who come over after a certain, can't initially do it. You have to have so many years in. You have to have done this and that and the other before you can even begin to qualify for benefits of being a citizen, of getting some of the things that you get being in America. You can only get those things by being a citizen. So if you're an illegal or legal immigrant, you cannot access benefits that are due to citizens of the United States. Okay? That means they are paying into the Social Security system that's supporting all of those individuals who are currently getting Social Security benefits. If they stop them, all of the millions and billions of dollars that they pay into the system will no longer be accessible to those who are drawing down Social Security, and they're going to immediately feel what it's like to have their benefits cut.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't tell them that.
No, they don't. You're giving our listeners a lot. Let's go. Let's get a little bit lighter here.
All right.
A lighter side to this thing.
All right.
And this is the things for you to think about while you develop your purpose list. You know, think about these things while you're focusing, while you're trying to decide what your purpose is. Maybe your purpose. Let's go on, because I'm a lighter side to this. Because I'm ready for this one, because I love this one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I want this one. I think I know what it is. Go.
What movie character would you most want to be like? Do I get to go first?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Because I want to be Wonder Woman. I want to be Black Widow in the Avengers. I want to be every bad superhero female that you got going, because I love strong women, okay? I love them. I want to be the woman who drives the fast car in the Fast and Furious, the Hispanic woman in the Hispanic woman that drove the machine in the air when we were talking about Avatar. I want to be her, okay? That's who I want to be. You know, nothing weak about me. You know, I have this strong constitution, but I want to be bad with it. Okay? What about you, baby?
I would be Cleopatra Jones.
Go ahead.
Cleopatra Jones was they say it was black exploitation era, but it was during the time when they were making nothing but black movies in the 60s and the 70s.
I remember her.
Cleopatra Jones was a fly, spin out, kick, drop down.
She was.
Knock a person down, investigating woman who was not afraid of anything. I would be Cleopatra Jones.
You're going to make me go and find her movie. You're going to make me go and find it and watch her. That was, what was her name? She was oh, I know who.
But
oh.
I just know Cleopatra Jones. I got, you know what? That's messed up. I'm gonna have to text it to you because I got the movie sitting right at home. I'm gonna go. I'll be like, this. This is the name of the actress. Yep. Mhm.
Pam Grier.
No, not Pam.
It wasn't
Grier.
Pam Grier.
No, Pam Grier did a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
Pam Grier was bad too. Now. I love Lisa Foxy Brown. Don't start, but.
Okay, you bad. No. Okay, so back to our list.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're focusing on your purpose list, and you want to know what was the favorite thing that you wanted to do as a kid? Why are you doing what you're currently doing? These are all questions you need to focus in on. What do you wish you had more time to do? What kind of person do you want to be, say, 2 years from now? What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now? Now, that's a thought. I know she didn't think she'd be doing what I'm doing now. When was the last time you felt lit up? Now, that's a good question because I felt that way Thursday. I felt a sense of excitement. I felt a sense of calm. As a matter of fact, I sat in my therapist's office and I told her, if I feel like I feel right now, every day for the rest of my life, you would not need to see me ever again. I felt so good. A sense of, you know how you wake up in the morning and you feel like everything is all right? You just feel cradled by the ancestors, by the angels. You just feel like God's presence is just right. And we ain't getting religious. We just getting, you just feel a sense of everything is okay.
Right.
And I can't wait to start this day.
Yes.
Because it's just great. And that was the last time I felt lit. Then I woke up this morning and every bone in my body felt like it was aching. It's like, yeah, okay, here we go.
Keep believing that, boo-boo.
Get some ibuprofen, knock out this pain, you know.
That's right.
But, But I know how it feels to feel good.
I say, yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. That's so cute.
How do you know when you're being completely authentic? Oh, boy. When did you last feel that way? Okay, baby. I'm going to let you go first with this one.
The last time I totally felt way off-centered was
I didn't say off-center.
What did you say?
See, there you go. When is the, I'm going first because you know you're getting it all mixed up.
Okay, go on.
How do you know when you're being completely authentic?
Oh, authentic.
When you're not being fake. When you're for real.
Yes,
you know, when you're processing, you know, your true nature.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, I get in trouble every day of my life. Because there's not a moment when I'm not being for real. I'm not being honest. There's not a day that goes by. I am honest. I'm for real. I tell it like I see it, how I feel it. And I am not fake, and I am not phony, and I don't pretend.
Right.
And I get in trouble all the time. I get in trouble on my jaw. I really do. I sat down with a woman the other night. It was at dinner. And sometimes I feel like, oh, my gosh, was I being rude? But I ordered some fish soup, and it came to the table. And this woman, I don't know her, because I was at somebody else's function. I mean, I only knew two people that was at the table. But the lady sitting next to me said, ooh, that smells funny. And I looked at her and very quietly whispered, when you get your food, you can comment about your food. Okay, but I'm getting ready to eat this, and I really don't need your comments to tell me how it smells. All right?
Okay.
I thought that was rude. My food smells funny. You can keep it to yourself. You know, have somebody looking at your food and saying, ew, you're going to eat that? That looks nasty.
Right.
That annoyed me. You know, I'm getting ready to eat. Ew, that smells funny. You know, so I told her that. I told her.
Excuse me.
I bet she won't be rude around me anymore. But
right.
What can I say? I'm authentic. Sometimes I have to, sometimes I have to apologize for my authenticity. Because later on that evening when I saw her by herself, I said, oh, my God, I love what you said when you were the guest speaker up there speaking. I said, and I gave her a hug, and then I said, I hope I didn't offend you at dinner. She said, no, you didn't offend me, but you scared the shit out of me.
Listen, but you didn't tell the best part. You didn't tell how when the food came and you tasted it.
It was nasty.
Yes, that's the best part. And the best part is, the second best part of it is you turn to her and you say, and it tastes horrible. See, you did not just be your authentic self to put her in check. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just to be mean, you were just being authentic, and you were just being authentic when you said, and it's in a humble, you see what I mean? You were in this space where you can talk about your stuff just like you can talk about her. So you're like, and it was horrible too.
It was disgusting. I sent it back to the kitchen, and I did. I let her know. And it tastes
right.
Nasty.
This is what I'm saying. And it tasted nasty. You did not. That is being authentic.
Huh?
Now that is being authentic, because the sword cuts both ways. You see? It just doesn't cut in one direction. It comes back and it swings and it cuts in the other direction.
Absolutely,
too.
I do. I mean, I call out myself, too.
Right.
I really do. I'll do it in a heartbeat. I don't need anybody to call me out. I'll call myself out.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Now that is the essence of authentic.
Thank you.
If you ask me, when I know when I'm being authentic, I have no fear, and I'm not concerned about what others may think, say, believe, see me as, whatever. I say exactly what my intention is, and I stand in that intention, in that thought, without backing down. That's
got
when
you.
I know I'm being authentic.
Right. You know, I really like us.
Yes.
Yeah, I really
yes.
do. Okay, now that we know we're both authentic.
Well, I aspire to be as authentic as you are. As a priest, I have to sometimes exercise the diplomacy, which doesn't always allow me to say exactly what I want to say.
Hey, you got another 10 more years, you'll get there.
Okay.
I think the older we get, the more authentic we become, because we ain't got time for the BS. We just don't have time for it. You know, life is moving along here, and I'm up here, so it's like I ain't got time to be playing the game. I gotta say it. You know,
I just gotta let it go. Peace out.
That's right. Let it go. Keep it moving. Okay. They have questions like, "What makes you lose track of time?" I lose track of time. Not so much because I want to lose track, but when I meditate, it's like time goes by so fast. I mean, it zings. It's like, you know, before I know it, time is gone because I have taken myself to another dimension where time does not exist.
Yeah.
And so when I come back to this reality, I have been gone a long time, but it doesn't feel like I've been gone a long time.
Right.
You know? So that's when I love that. When I'm focused and or when I'm meditating, I'll lose track of what time it is.
I lose track of time when I'm communing with nature or interacting with the elements, you know, like when I'm out in my garden, I lose track of time. When I'm watching the goats dance around and be so happy, and I'm walking the land and they're following me and dancing and stuff, I lose track of time, you know, because I'm so caught up in the beauty of whatever it is that I'm kind of dealing with or interfacing with. I just, everything else gets suspended. You know, I lose track of time when I'm just standing next to a tree sometimes getting ready to do sugar mapling. I just, whatever it is that requires me to be there in that space with nature, I often lose track of time. And I love it. I'm like,
you know. So, what makes you smile? I get a big smile on my face when I ask that question because I know exactly what makes me smile. My grandchildren make my heart sing. Whenever I think of my grandchildren, I smile. I mean, my heart literally sings when I think of my grandchildren. And if I imagine being face-to-face with each one of my own children when they were little infants, you know, playing with their little lips and watching them try to follow my finger with their little mouth, you know, those things make me smile. I miss my children's childhood. You know, I miss them. And so when I think my grandchildren, I think they are my children's children, and they make my heart sing. I mean, literally. So that's what makes me smile. Little people. My little people.
My wife smiling makes me smile. When she smiles all the way to her soul. And you can see it. She has these little bitty eyes. Her people, she is Native American. And Taino. They say that they are extinct, but they are not extinct. Okay? So they have these little bitty eyes. And oftentimes when we first got together, she would kind of be looking down at me. They look like their eyes are closed, like Inuit's eyes. And so when she smiles, her eyes smile into this little slit that even smiles. And that makes me just like, that is the most beautiful thing. To see her smile is one of my favorite things. I love to see her smile.
And last but not least, because we're coming to the close of the show. That's the only reason why. Because
okay.
Got like
okay.
questions up the yang yang. Who inspires you most, and what qualities do they possess that inspire you? And I have to say, the person that inspires me the most is my mother. Ma, you inspire me the most because I aspire to have the peace and the wisdom that I see shining through you as you mature in age. You inspired me when I was a little girl. You taught me everything that I needed to know to combat and to get along in this world of what I didn't know that I was getting ready to embark upon the journey in. And right now, today, you inspire me because you're ahead of me, and you show me so much about what I am going to need to know should I get to where you are right now. And I can't wait to see you and help you celebrate your 90th birthday on the 24th of this month. You're
phenomenal.
The one that inspired me. You inspire me, and you are my Shiro, my mama.
Wow. That's wonderful. I would say my parents as well. They do inspire me for different reasons. Like, my mom has shown me that you are not ever too old to learn, okay? Her quest, she is thirsty for understanding how the world works. It's something just opened in her mind and in her psyche, and she is just like listening to historical things about different peoples of color and cultures, and learning about, you know, whatever it is that she can possibly get her hands on about my tradition, and you know, and she has shown me you are not ever too old to be able to move the dial of where it is that you believe you should be in your life in terms of interacting with life, right? My dad, he is no longer alive, but the legacy that my father left me was the one of understanding that you're not ever too old to change, basically. My father was not a perfect man, right? But it was his quest for perfection that made him a wonderful man. So he would, you know, he, at his point in his life, he drank and he did other things or whatever, but he got to a point where he acted with intention, acted with integrity. He was kind of like Malcolm X. You know what I mean? He was the strength of the and the pillar of the community. He was compassionate. He was giving. He was loyal. You know, he was loving. He was a strong black man, and spiritually strong. You know, and to understand that I can get there. You know what I mean? I don't have to start out perfect. That I can get there is the gift that he gave me. And I love him and my mother for those gifts that they share with me every day.
Sounds beautiful. Well, before we close, I want to make an announcement to all of you who want to go to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I'm letting you know that they only give out free tickets on their website the first Wednesday of every month. And these tickets are 3 months in advance. So this Wednesday, you get online and you can get your free tickets to the African American Cultural History Museum in D.C., and the tickets will be for May. You know, if you get up early enough, you'll be able to get the day you want, the time you want. And if you got a couple of email addresses, you'll get as many tickets as you want.
Right.
My last visit was this month, and I got them for April, and I got 12 tickets. I'm giving away for my daughter for her birthday in April. So I'm letting everybody know Wednesday. Get up and get your tickets for May.
Okay,
Fabio. You know it's time for that football game to come on. You know a lot of people want to see that football game.
I'm just going to put it on
while I fix me something to eat because I want to see the commercials. I like to see what commercial these little, you know, they pay all this money for commercials.
Right.
But I enjoy this conversation and I I was going to call you after the show, but you probably got some things you need to do. I'm sure you do. I'm sure Rachel's saying, she's going to get off of that show.
Look, I have to go and take her someplace, but we can talk while I'm driving. You know how I am. I get on the phone, I put on speaker and be like, go.
I hate it.
So,
we still got to do Ola Yinka Bami Dali.
Excuse me. Yes, we do.
I know. Flavio, say goodbye. Say goodnight to the audience. We'll see them February the 18th, day
yes.
after my birthday.
Oh, my
and we'll
goodness.
Have a show
yes.
then.
Oh, double. That's what we say. That
oh,
means
double.
We'll see you soon. Yes, we'll see you soon.
Okay, everybody.
You don't say
thank
goodbye.
You so much. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out with us. And we hope you had as good a time as we did, because we had a good time. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Being authentic about it. We hope you did, too. But if you didn't, we did. We had a fantastic time together doing this. So you take care, and we'll see you on the 18th of February. And love you. And that's it. We got to go. We got to go. Night night.
Good night.